Thank you, Brad. Nice song, very fitting this morning. And friends who are worshiping with us to Facebook, you are so welcome to be part of this worship service on Father's Day. Actually, we keep on preaching on this theme or series of sermons about the Holy Spirit as we started on the day of Pentecost. But yes, it is Father's Day as well. So being a father today is not easy job. No easy job. If you don't believe it, try it. But you can't quit. If you get started, you better keep on going. A few days ago, I read an article on internet. You don't have to go to library nowadays necessarily. Libraries are great. And I think we have a great library here. Many of us have libraries in our offices and homes, but there was an article about, I think it came from United Kingdom in Europe. This was a Family Life Research Center, I think located in London, United Kingdom. And this writer had titled his article by saying that the greatest dilemma in Western world is fatherlessness. And he went on writing and the reasoning this thing that he was, his case as he was building up, and based on his professional background and educational background and life context, I have reason to believe that he was really hitting the nail. Fatherlessness. One of his points were that many fathers are missing in action, and no show. So it doesn't mean that you are physically present in your family, yet you are not present. And part of the busyness of life, and so on, so on, so on. That's a reason for another sermon, really. But this morning, I think this gift of encouraging is very, very fitting. Because I hope that all the men and fathers, you will be encouraged after this service this morning by hearing what the Word of God is telling to us. Now, I have done quite a bit of research at one point, and still, once in a while, on one word. It is pneuma, pneuma in it is a Greek word, and it's referring to the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, everything related to the Holy Spirit, including the spiritual gifts. So this gift of encouraging is like a top of the umbrella gift, part of the cluster with many other gifts. And encouragement or encouraging is just as a one word or one gift. But it ought to be an entire ministry for a local church. Every church ought to be encouraging churches. So I have reason to believe that if you are down for a reason or two, I hope you find yourself spiritually and maybe mentally as well in different place after this service. Now the word comfort is used 9 times in the second epistle reading we have before us, which is the 2 Corinthians 1:3. I just counted it. So if you want to recount it and let me know I was right or wrong, that's okay. But I think it was mentioned all the time in these verses. Comfort. So comfort is the way to describe the ministry of encouraging. And I'm not just talking about some people being a little bit more encouraging personalities than others. I am talking about spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit for the Church of Christ. Without that gift, we won't have it. You are not personality, you can't be personality only by encouraging personality by just who you are. you need to have this special gift from above, from the Holy Spirit, to become and get involved in the ministry of encouragement, encouraging. So first, let's consider the definition of the gift of encouraging. What it means, encouraging. I believe, here's what I believe, the key thought of encouraging is comfort. Comfort. Let me ask you, is comfort needing in the life of churches today? The user of this gift excludes. If you are using the gift of encouraging, what you are doing, you're actually excluding all selfish motives, whatever they are, and you are focusing on somebody else only. So this gift has really nothing for you, but all and everything for somebody else. You are channeling God's encouragement through your ministry, through your prayer, through your personality upon somebody else who definitely needs it. You are concentrating on helping others. Is help needed in the churches today? I know you say amen on that. Now, this gift of the Holy Spirit provides believers with the same gift that Jesus and the Holy Spirit possesses. So if you are channeling this powerful, powerful tool of the gift of encouraging, you are actually channeling, you are spreading encouragement from the Holy Spirit and Christ himself. In Gospel of John 14:16, Jesus speaks about himself and the Holy Spirit as being comforters. Comforters. Here's what Jesus says, "And I will ask my Father, and he will give you another advocate." Other translation talks about counselor or supporter, who will never leave you. Listen to this. Who will never leave you? So when you are comforting, encouraging somebody through your gift, from your heart, you are actually handing over a gift from the Lord that will never disappear, never go away. This is the reason when if I was to ask you that, have you ever met? Or let me tell you, who was the person one time walk into your life and you just cannot forget him or forget her? She was so encouraging. He was so encouraging. And it was right time for me to meet with that person. Then we are talking about spiritual gift, not just the personality, outgoing personality, caring personality. Friends, we are talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. In our text, Apostle Paul speaks of the gift of enabling believers to have that ability. Here we go. Enabling believers like you and I to have that gift of encouraging. And in 1st Epistle of John, this is chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus is described as an advocate himself. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. Advocate. Who steps forward, who stands beside us, by our side, and is pleading for us. He's Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. And in Romans 12:8, this is one of my favorite verses in the book of Romans. Believers are described in the same way. This is the reading that we had before us. Now, another concept expressed in encouragement is counseling. counseling. Now, when you hear the word counseling, you are thinking about professional people, you know, counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists and pastors and people who are working in this field. No, yes, they are important. But counseling is many other things. When you meet with your friend, your church member, or you have a reason to meet with somebody and God has put on your heart to be encourager, to serve with your gift, you are not going to ask your friend to please sit down. I'm offering you two sessions of counseling. Are you ready for that? Don't get scared if he walk away or even run away, especially if you are not well known in town to be a counselor. You see what I'm saying? But being a counselor from one human being, from one Christian to another, is a different ballgame. You are counseling with the gift given from above to you. Christians counsel others by many different ways, spending time with each other, reproving, urging, encouraging, praying, sending an email message or sending a letter. We don't send letters anymore too much. Sending a letter, thinking about. They also counsel by speaking good words of encouragement. Is this needed in the church, friends? Good words? Sometimes you say, well, I say my good words. Maybe there's more reason next time to say something. And then we don't encourage people. It's missing. Friends, it is missing in the life of the church. Maybe it is missing in your life. You say, Timo, I don't remember when somebody walked to me and said something encouraging to me. I don't remember. Maybe ever. I feel sad for you. If nobody ever come to you and say, I just wanted to encourage you. Or they don't say, I want to encourage you. I just wanted to say, you are just doing very well. Or the way you did it, or the way you did something, I got a big blessing out of it. It may mean a lot to somebody else, very little thing to you. In addition, Christians may counsel by giving references. You say, well, I don't know much about it, but here is something I recommend to you. So the idea of encouraging is to build up and to edify. Do we need this in the life of the church? Fathers, do you need this in your ministry? Being a father? Somebody lift you up when you feel down? Somebody to edify you? I think you do. I can say, I think we do. And the second, let's try to think about somebody in the New Testament who had this gift. Definitely, most definitely. In the New Testament, there are many, but let me just point out one character here. His name is Barnabas. How many of you know Barnabas? Come on, guys, you better know your Bibles. Barnabas. You know the one who was working with Moses? No, he was working with Paul. Actually, when Paul was still Saul, there is Barnabas building him up. He was called in the Bible the son of consolation. It tells all about it. The son of consolation. Barnabas is seen helping Paul in three different ways in the Bible, in the book of Acts, namely. Three different ways. It was Barnabas actually who endorsed and welcomed Saul, who was still Saul after his conversion into faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody else was scared. They have heard bad things about this man who was chasing Christians and putting them to prison and maybe being part of killings. Who knows what all he did. And now he has changed. He turned his life to Christ. And he is serving Jesus little by little And Barnabas was aware about him, knew him. And he wanted to welcome this man who knows so much about the Bible, the Old Testament. He was a Pharisee. Saul has the best education in the country. Now, few things are needed more in this world than just a simple no, someone cares. Everyone needs a friend. If you don't have a friend, man or lady, you gotta get one. Friend that you can call and trust, who encourages you. Everyone needs a friend. You need a friend in the church. And church needs to be easy on building friendships. If your connection with the church is only coming to church once a week, it is not going to last too long. You got to find friends. You got to find connection. You got to find somebody there in the church that can share life and be with you as a friend. Then Barnabas actually was the disciple, and of course then later apostle, who enlisted Paul as a teacher. When most of his friends, I'm talking about Barnabas, were still working on their understanding whether what to think about Saul, considering his background, Barnabas was already enlisting him. He said, great, have you heard him to talk? To know what this man knows about different cultures, about the Old Testament? He can speak to you day or two without eating. He's phenomenal. Now, many people in the church or in the corridors of service, they are waiting there to be enlisted. They are waiting somebody to come and encourage them. Hey, I'm sensing, I'm seeing, I'm hearing that you will be great at this and this and this. Have you been thinking about that? That may be exactly what you have been praying about. For a pastor, I feel that is the greatest thing for me, to keep my eyes and ears open, to find right people working on certain matters. They may not know how good they are. And guess what? If I see somebody is much better than I am in something, it makes me happy. It don't make me jealous that somebody's doing something better than I do. It makes me happy because I know you are using your gift to empower the church and make our witness stronger and make our church and ministry stronger. The Holy Spirit endows God's people to find and use these workers. Fathers, you need encouragement. Your job is not easy. Not easy at all. It is one of the most challenging jobs in the world. Then, Barnabas, talking about a couple of things about Barnabas, he developed Paul as a gifted assistant into one who became actually his superior. You remember? After a little while, nobody knew much about Barnabas, but everybody knew about Paul. Paul, Paul, Paul. There's another unknown behind-the-scenes guy in the New Testament. It is Andrew, the brother to Peter, you remember? He acted right time, right place, staying in behind the scene. We don't hear anything about how well he preached. I'm telling you, he was encourager. He was right time, right person. A right time, a right person thing. This is an illustration of someone having this gift of encouragement, who is willing to put himself, herself behind so that this person can grow in to full maturity in service. And then, by the way, Barnabas was also seen accepting alien believers, very useful gift today, accepting alien believers who were not welcomed by others. Listen to this, what Bible says in Acts 11:22. When the church in Jerusalem heard that what happening, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. This was when revival broke in Antioch and many people came to the Lord there. When he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. when the church, early church, first church in Jerusalem was wondering what is happening in Antioch. Antioch was a very international place, very diverse place, very, very different place. You might say like our Las Vegas in quotation marks. Very different place. All of a sudden, the church in Jerusalem start getting good news about Antioch. People coming to Christ, they are responding to the gospel. My goodness, what is going on? But they are not Jews. They are Gentiles. They represent all the colors and ethnical backgrounds. What are we going to do about that? They sent Barnabas to Antioch. And guess what? It was right man there in the right time. There's one more thing that Barnabas did to be an encourager, and this is for us all. Remember when John Mark, who was partnering with Paul, was a young disciple, partnering with Paul, and Paul was already being Paul, straightforward, didn't like Mark too much. He believed Mark was a little lazy. He had left Paul and his crew one time, maybe twice. He was a little dreamer. And when Paul and Barnabas was getting ready to leave Antioch, and they were making their traveling plans and mission plans to further their ministry, Paul said, okay, Mark is not coming with me. This man is not coming with me. If he is coming, I am not coming. I am not going. So there is argument between Barnabas and Paul over Mark. And then this man, this Barnabas, this man gifted with the gift of encouragement, said, well, then I guess what we need to do, I take Barnabas, and you go where we were planning to go at first hand. Who are you going to take? Paul said, I take Silas. I like Silas. Barnabas said, I take Mark. Guess what would have happened if Barnabas went along with Paul, leaving this young, gifted man behind, because Paul didn't approve him, as great man as he was. So Paul and Silas took off to Syria and Cilicia, Cilicia, excuse me, and then Barnabas and Mark went to Cyprus. And the ministry of God will expand it. And the God was giving, they gave glory to God, even they didn't get along well as brothers. Third and last, let's try to observe some general characteristic of the gift of encouragement. I think you have one, my friend. I think you have one. I believe you have one of these gifts. This gift is everyday gift, every moment gift. The time for this gift is now, right here. This is the gift. This is the gift that needs to be used immediately, not waiting. If you've been thinking about encouraging somebody, saying something encouraging, don't go home today and think about week or two afterwards and if I still see something good going, I may say something. No, do it today. Share affirmation with people. Encourage them. Bless them by your words. And they will grow deeper in their faith and in their service. Why I'm saying this, in this world, in this town, all over, there's need for this gift. People are hurting, they are in trouble, they are needing encouragement, somebody who lift them up. And there's demanding need for God's side to find people who will serve in this wonderful capacity of encouraging people, who are down. You may be one. Let me rephrase it. You are the one with this gift. And you can serve in much deeper capacity and stronger capacity than ever before. And today we want to pray especially for all the dads, fathers, and fatherly figures in the church to be more blessed with this gift of encouragement, because you can see wonderful blessings through it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our time together by the ministry of giving. If the ushers can come forward at this time.